Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv. Welcome to the Jennifer LeClaire Show. I'm interviewing some awesome guests and sharing personal insights along the way to stir your faith. Hope you enjoy it. Hey guys, Jennifer LeClaire here, senior leader at the Awakening House of Prayer in South Florida, founder of the Ignite Network. This is another episode of the Seer Zone. If you have missed the past episodes, I want you to go to YouTube after this broadcast, go catch up. These have been getting better and better as we go along. I am here with Apostle Jonathan Stidham. I'm going to bring him on camera in just a moment, but I want to ask you, on whatever venue that you are watching this, share, share, share. There are seers out there in wilderness places, seers out there hidden in caves, seers out there in religious churches that have not yet had the opportunity to step into the fullness of their gift. They need to hear this word. Today's topic is the lifestyle of a seer. And I just want to make the opening comment that the lifestyle of a seer is a little bit different than some of the other gifts. A lifestyle is the typical way of life, according to the dictionary. The dictionary says a lifestyle is the typical way of life of an individual, a group, or a culture. That means it's not something you do sometimes. Listen, you're not a part-time seer. You're not a part-time prophet. You're not a part-time evangelist, pastor, or teacher. You're not a part-time believer. You are called of God, and that is a lifestyle. You know, Todd White prophesies or projects forth the term of lifestyle Christianity, and so it is a lifestyle. Being a seer is not a part-time occupation. It's not a in-church-only issue. There's a lifestyle of the seer. And with that, I've got on camera now here with me, Apostle Jonathan Stidham. Make your opening comments and we'll dive into some stuff.
Hello, hello. Thank you again for inviting me on. These are always fun. I'm excited to talk about this. This is actually one of my favorite conversations beyond talking about revelation, is talking about lifestyle, because lifestyle without revelation can be detrimental, not only to yourself, but to the people that you're trying to minister to and the administration of the prophetic office. So thanks for inviting me on. I'm excited to talk with you.
Yeah. This is really good. You know, I want to talk, first of all, just really dive into the concept of lifestyle a little bit more. You know, I was a writer. I still am a writer, but I was a writer. I wrote for the New York Times, the Associated Press, Men's Health Magazine. I wrote for a lot of the biggest names in journalism, in magazine, and newspapers. But I had to develop a lifestyle. When I was a writer, as a writer, it was my lifestyle. I always looked through the lens of a journalist. I would listen through the lens of, or through the realm of a journalist. And so I was trained. I trained myself. I cultivated a lifestyle, how I spent my time. I would get up early to write, because your creativity for most people spikes either early in the morning or late at night. So I would write early in the morning. There was a certain lifestyle that I attained. Now, you were a military man before you were a pastor. So let's just give them this example. Talk a little bit about the lifestyle of a Marine or the lifestyle of a military man.
Sure. I mean, the old adage, you train, you train, you train. You cultivate a lifestyle of sacrifice. Even in the Marine Corps, your early morning wake ups. We ran 7-8 miles every single morning, on and off, going to ranges, and you're shooting targets, and you're preparing yourself, and so you're going to classes, you're learning the mechanisms, the mechanics of the office or the MOS, what they would call that you are assigned to in the military, and so you can correlate that regiment into Christianity. And one thing I always tell people is anything that does not have order is from hell.
Wow.
If people always insinuate the prophetic, and they say, you know, they want to be just free, they want to be free, but the prophetic has an order to it. And there is a way that you train yourself and develop yourself. There is a protocol to the prophetic. There's a protocol to the prophetic office. The requirements, just like in the Marine Corps, there were requirements. I had to be able to run a 3 mile in a certain amount of time. In fact, in my prime, I ran a 3 mile in 16 minutes. I'm just saying, Jennifer.
Wow. Hey,
your boy was good, you know? But I had to be able to, run what they would call PFTs or exercising in so much time, so many push-ups, so many pull-ups. I had to know my systems inside and out. I had to know my weaponry inside and out, that we would run tests on weaponry. In order to be promoted, I had to know the history of the Marine Corps. I had to know the history of my MOS. I had to know and be able to train other people. And so oftentimes in the Christian culture, we've developed this sense, especially in the prophetic community, that we typically promote based upon the prophetic utterance of a person and not their capability, their training, their development, how much time they've spent in understanding their office. Are they able to train and develop other people? We promote solely upon a prophetic utterance. And I believe that's where we get in trouble in the prophetic community.
That's really, really good. I mean, discipline. So part of the lifestyle of the seer would be discipline. We have to discipline our eyes to look. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, seeing is not for the lazy or lackadaisical. If you've got a gift, you've got to exercise it. I'll never forget when I was driving over the bridge on Hollywood Boulevard down in Hollywood, Florida. And the Lord said something to me so clearly. He said, I've given you a gift, and I expect you to use it. Mm-hmm. So we know that God has given us all talents, whether your talent is seeing or whether your talent is singing or whether your talent is writing, whatever your talent is, but especially with seeing, because there's this almost misconception in the seer realm and with people that I know that if God doesn't show you, you know, you're done for, but you can actually go and look. Like I've said this before, Daniel kept on looking and kept on looking and kept on looking. You can choose to go look. You can choose to exercise your gift. And so, you know, we train our senses by exercise. You know, we train discernment by exercise. Anything, any gift we have, including seeing, we must train ourselves. We must exercise. It's also exercising our faith. Did we see accurately? You know, it's the same thing in concept of the nabi, hearing. We hear, we test, we judge, we learn. And so part of the lifestyle of the seer is disciplining yourself, not only to look, there's many aspects of discipline, but disciplining yourself to look, not to just wait on some random vision, because I believe God is showing us things a lot more than we're seeing things.
I believe one of the greatest compromises in the prophetic is when we take and fall in love with ministry more than relationship with God. And this is one of those discipline areas. You know, there's a story about Elijah. Remember they said, he said, take me to King Ahab. And the servant of King Ahab said, well, why would I do that? He'll kill me because I know that I'm going to tell him you're here and then you're going to just disappear and you'll be there. And then I'm going to tell him you're there and you're going to disappear and you'll be here. And what we have to take away from that is part of the discipline nature of a prophet. Especially in the seer community, that you can be on an assignment and all of a sudden you just disappear. There's times where my sons and daughters or the ministries that I cover, all of a sudden I'm doing something and then I'm just off the radar. Why? God has called me to pull back and to disciple and to push into relationship and to train my eyes in a deeper capacity to become the revelation and not just preach about a revelation. There's that discipline of being here and then being gone. And then coming back, and then like, now they're used to it. Oh, wait, okay, I just pick up and I just keep on going. You don't even, I just disappeared. I'm off the radar and now I'm back. And so that's, there was one of those principles I took from Elijah that said, okay, wait a minute. There's something about this that we want, that God wants us to capture. That guy said, if I tell King Ahab, you're here, I'll come back here and you won't be here no more.
Yeah.
And that's that prophetic discipline of loving God, the stewardship of his majesty, the stewardship of his secrets, his revelations, our relationship with him as sons and daughters, pushing into those capacities that we talk about and becoming, I love what, you know, James Gall says, becoming the scroll. You know, becoming yes. incarnation and not just teaching about it and not just regurgitating and not just telling other people what we've read in a book, but becoming those, being disciplined enough to become what we preach.
Yeah. And that really is a discipline, because there are those who simply espouse revelation. And mm-hmm. you know what? There's nothing entirely wrong with it. I get it. We all have different understandings. But from the beginning of my prophetic ministry, very, very early on, it was through Ezekiel that the Lord taught me a lot of things. And if there's anyone in the Bible about which we have an example of becoming the word, of eating the scroll, of actually personifying the prophetic, it's Ezekiel. I mean, this dude, come on, man. It blows me away. He laid on one side, then he laid on the other side. He had to cook his food over dung. He was actually, you know, becoming the word, you know.
Yes, he was.
And so early on, I learned the principle of chewing on the word, meditating on the word, making sure that I mm-hmm. did not release what I saw or what I heard until it was ready to be released. I have to, sometimes when I receive words, I have to walk in them myself.
Yeah.
So that when I'm releasing them, I have to walk out what I've seen. I have to become that. I have to embrace that at such a dimension so that when I release it, I'm releasing it from a place of compassion. I'm mm-hmm. releasing it from a place of experience. I'm releasing it from a place of confidence,
right,
and understanding and knowing that what I'm saying is true. So part of the lifestyle of a seer really is mm-hmm. becoming the word. Not everything that you see is to be released immediately. There is a
sure.
perfect kairos time.
Yeah. You know, there, you can feel the urgency. First of all, you know, God speaks to the seer's eyes. So you hear through your eyes, I'm going to go a little bit revelatory here for a moment, but eyes to seers, your eyes actually have ears. So you are seeing what God is saying. So it is important in those moments to understand the value of protecting what you watch. Now, I believe all believers should protect what you watch. The Bible says your eyes are the windows to your soul. However, it is even more important for a seer, because your eyes are literally your guide in the spirit realm. And so you've got to protect. It's almost like the reason, you know, especially music, we protect what we hear. But for prophets, Nabi prophets, they protect what they hear, right? So I remember something coming on TV and my eyes began to make my stomach sick.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, John, be careful. And it wasn't even anything crazy, but my stomach yeah. got sick by what my eyes were seeing. And the Lord said, you've got to protect, because this is how I speak to you. And so you're violating the access between you and God.
Yeah. Yes.
And so as prophetic people, even beyond, I believe every person, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You should have your own personal convictions. You should want to be holy, for God is holy. But even for prophetic people, you have to guard. And what's part of one of the lifestyles is that just because it's permissible doesn't mean that as a prophetic person, you do it. And what everybody else may be allotted to do by God doesn't mean that you will be allotted to do. It's important for seers to guard what you read. I've seen a lot of prophetic people because they primarily operated out of sight, they began to read books and then got enticed by spirits, and now they're in error.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that, because their eyes were the primary access between them and God. Just like for somebody who would listen to things and be led away by spirits that would speak, they were led away by what they read. And I'm telling you, there's a great and many of ministers that started out well and read the wrong things. They read the wrong
That's
things
right.
and they were swept away in error by enticing spirits, because they violated the access between them and God. So I speak to people, seeing people all the time. Now, remember, John 3:8 says that as believers, that we're all entitled to see. Yes. It says that once you become a believer, that you can now see the kingdom of God. That's however, right. For seers, primarily I want to speak to you, guard what you read, guard what you watch, guard what comes before your eyes, because we don't want to become violators of the access between us and God.
Yeah, that's really good. The Bible talks about the seeing eye. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the hearing eye and the seeing ear. Mm-hmm, So these realms are mixed up together. And, you know, usually a seer can hear, but they're predominant as seeing. Sometimes mm-hmm. Navi see, but they're predominant as Navi. I think we've talked about that before. But, you know, I want to just give a quick testimony that validates what you said. Many years ago, I was with a very close friend of mine. She said, let's watch a movie. And she brought over this movie. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it is inherently nothing really wrong with it. But when I watched it, it was it grieved my spirit. I actually got, like you said, I got sick to my stomach. Yeah. I had pains in my stomach from watching this. And I told her, I said, listen, I'm sorry. I can't watch this. You know, I just can't watch it. And she's like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm like, but it's grieving the Holy Spirit. So, you know, she called me religious and whatever. I don't really care what people call me anymore. I died to myself and I got delivered from you a long time ago out there in drama land. But, you know, this is an issue where, you know, what we give ourselves to, what we meditate on, what we look at, we become. So if we're looking at error, if we're looking at pornography, if we're looking at, you know, we become all of these things. So part of the discipline of the seer is to really, really guard your eyes. If you don't, like any believer, you know, like Apostle John said, but your eyes as a seer. One time I had cut off from a certain group of people. And listen, this is for real. And every once in a while, I'd be tempted to go see what they were doing. And I was going to their Facebook page to look and see. And the Lord said, listen to me. The Lord said, every time you go look at that, you're diminishing your ability to see in the spirit. And I was like, whoa, that cured me real fast from going and looking. You know, I need to be looking at the things in the spirit, not at the drama on Facebook. And that goes for you too, all of you believers.
Yeah, and I I'm not trying to push my personal convictions on anybody, so hear me. But I watch very little TV. I watch very little news. Now, I know some prophets, they keep the news on. I believe it's unhealthy, and I believe that it can actually bring you into soulless prophecy. I believe the purest form of prophecy comes from a place where you shut down every voice and you tune in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I there are very minimum people. I read Apostle Jennifer. I read your books. Just to let you know, you made the cut. but I don't read everybody's books. I don't care who the next hit wonder is. I don't care how popular their book is. I do not read everyone's books. I don't need their voice in my spirit. So I limit my eyesight to very select few people's books. And typically I read from relationship. Now I know many of you don't have a relationship with a lot of these authors. However, I believe that you should track their ministry, check the fruit of their life before you engage in their material. Yes. Some of the people that you're following don't even have the fruit of the spirit, and you're reading all their books trying to operate in the realm of the spirit, and you're wondering why hell's breaking loose. It's because they haven't gained access rightly themselves into the realm of the spirit, but they're writing about these things but don't have the fruit of the spirit, which is the access point into the realm of the spirit. I can talk about that later. But I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of news. I limit who I read their books to, authors. I love to read. In fact, if you're not growing, you're dying. Yeah. But why am I saying all this? Because I believe there's a discipline. I remember somebody was like, well, because I'll be honest, I ran with the group so hard that I couldn't even see because I was always so busy. I was so busy with ministry that I couldn't see right. And I believe that there's a season to run. You know, there was a season Elijah tucked in his tunic and he ran hard, right? I believe there's a season to run. And I believe there's a season you have to stay still before God. But because it can dilute your ability to see in the realm of the spirit. And somebody said, well, how is it that you're just loosing all these prophecies so accurate all of a sudden? And I told him, I said, the key is that I engage myself in relationship with God and I cut down. I don't do as many things. Now, I believe, again, there are seasons. Jennifer, you have such a wind of media on you. I couldn't even do that right now. Like yeah. I try to push into this media thing right now and I'm exhausted. So there's a strength, there's a grace to it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I'm like, God, give me the grace that's on Apostle Jennifer's life to do this media thing. And right now I can't because the Lord's called me into this place of just becoming steadfast. You have 20 years of ministry, relationship with God above me. So I'm like, so there are great to set these points, but then God will say, okay, I want you to reel back and I want you to spend this time developing yourself so that you can help others develop your sight, develop your hearing, develop and cultivate who you are in the realm of the spirit. Cut down on voices. I just told a young man this. He said, I want to flow in the prophetic. I love what God's doing in your life. I said, cut every voice out of your life.
Yeah.
I said, get alone with the Bible and the Holy Ghost. And I said, if you want to operate, it's not rocket science, people of God. This isn't, we're not trying to keep anything from anybody. You have to cut every voice and get alone with your Bible and the Spirit of God. Learn His voice and you'll operate in every capacity that God wants you to operate in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings me to another discipline, which is being a student of the Word. I mean, you know, the Bible says that you prophesy according to your proportion of faith. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the seer realm, it's somewhat similar in that we are going to inform our spirits by the Word of God. So when we see, we're going to be able to more quickly judge, is this God? Is this not God? Because the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. So we might be deceived by something we see in the spirit if we're not grounded in the Word. The Word is the great grounder. It's the great equalizer. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharp, it's active, it's dividing between soul and spirit. So the seer realm, if you want to be really accurate in the seer realm, you want to be rooted in the Word, because this is what will help you divide between the soulish imaginations that we listen. It can happen. You can see something very, very early on when I was first saved. I thought I saw a vision, but it was my soul. And I learned the hard way, because this decision I made based on a vision was very costly to me. So I learned, I mean, I was born again like a week, literally, actually about 4 weeks, because I spent the first 40 days in jail, praise God, for a crime I didn't commit. But this was the issue, that you can get deceived by your own soul if you are not rooted in the Word. You won't be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, or even sometimes what you see in the spirit. I think I lost you. There you are. Did you even hear what I said?
No, go ahead though.
I said, basically, you got to get in the Word, because the Word divides between soul and spirit. So for a seer, being rooted and grounded in the Word, it will help you divide between a soulish imagination, a soulish vision, something that it didn't really come from God, even an angel of light. It's the Word that divides what you see from true or false.
Yeah, my greatest encounters come through the Word.
Yeah.
As a seer, it's like the Word of God is the invitation into, you know, I've been stuck on this. I'm actually studying out, and I don't know if I want to release this, the passing on of character with mantles, and how mantles actually have the character of the person before them attached to them. Mm-hmm. And I find it in 2 Kings, you saw Elijah call down fire and kill over 100 people, right? 50, in groups of 50. And then he passes his mantle to Elisha. And in the next chapter, he calls out bears to kill over 40 kids.
Yeah.
And you don't ever see Elisha doing that before, right?
Right.
So, but you see him once anyway. So, but I, out of that, I had a radical encounter through a dream with God that night. And so the Word of God actually becomes the board in which you spring off of into the spirit realm. Now, there are times in my life I have radical encounters. Apostle Jennifer, you'll see me. I prophesy around you a lot.
Yeah.
And she lets me, as a young buck, she just lets me run wild. And I praise God for that. but it's because the Word of God is hidden in my heart. So the Bible says, hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against God. So when you live a devoted life to the Word of God, even though you may not physically have your Bible open, your encounters are still springing forth out of the Word that is in your heart. Ephesians 1, Paul said, I pray that your heart would be enlightened, or the eyes to your heart would be open. So the Bible says, hide the Word in your heart, because that becomes the way you see.
That's
right. The scrolls of heaven. And
that's
so,
right.
So those are, I mean, I'm telling you, I can't get people that have encounters that aren't grounded in the Word. I often question, okay, like, can you tell me in the scripture anything that you're even talking about? And they say, well, I don't have to spend a lot of time in the word. It's just all Holy Ghost. It's all Holy Ghost. That's where you become fruity and flaky. The Holy Spirit is not crazy.
Whoa.
We may look crazy to the world, but the Holy Ghost is not crazy. Okay. So I remember telling a prophet one time, I said, you need to study and you need to be okay with protocol and process. I'm a prophet. I just go and do whatever God wants me to go and do. And I said, well, you won't go and do here like that because you want to be in the office of a prophet, but you don't want to go through protocol and process, meaning that the people you're going to lead are going to be rebellious too.
That's right. That's right.
It's contrary to the word. And it comes from this. I pray for 7 hours, but I'm not grounded and rooted in the Bible. Amen. Right. And so it's word and spirit. It's not just spirit and it's not word. Word by itself is legalism. Spirit by itself can actually get you swept away into doctrines of devils and by familiar spirits.
Yep. That's right. And, you know, it's good to pray. I mean, that is one of the disciplines.
Oh, you should be.
Is because I know that nobody would think that you weren't saying that, because if you want to pray 7 hours, that's great, but you don't, doesn't mean that you should neglect the word. But prayer is part of the lifestyle of this year. When you get something, if you are able, you should pray about it. You know, I pray really, really, really fast sometimes about different things that happen. There are times when people, for example, will speak to me and I've got to give an answer. And I'm praying. For example, there was a man of God, we were on the car together, and he asked me my opinion on something, a certain issue that was happening in the body of Christ. And I really quick prayed, Lord, put the words in my mouth, because yeah. I don't want to say something out of line. I don't want to say something out of order. I want to speak the wisdom of God. And so real quick, in between the time that he asked and the time that I answered, that 10 seconds, Lord, put words in my mouth. And he did. And it was well received. Prayer is part of the lifestyle of the
Absolutely.
Spirit. That is a gateway for me. Now, there are different gateways. Some people, and they all work. The word is a gateway into the spirit realm. The prayer is a gateway into the spirit realm. For me, I am in the word every day. I'm praying as I read the word. I do what Mike Bickle said. I pray, read the word. So I'll be reading the word and I'll ask God, show me that. Show me that. Like Aaron and Moses. Okay. Moses, they were separated. You know, very young. Moses grew up in the household of Pharaoh. I'm sure he still knew who Aaron was, but they were apart from each other for a long time. When they came together, they were reunited. I like to see scripture. I like to ask the Lord, show me these scenes. It might not be real, but there's such a thing as a holy imagination also. So even if the Lord doesn't show you the actual scene in scripture, you can use your holy imagination and you can look and see the emotion of when Moses and Aaron were reunited. The Bible says they kissed each other. And when Jacob and Esau were reunited, Jacob fell on his neck and kissed him. I like to see that. And that is one way that you can practice your seer gift. It's just by using your holy imagination to pray, read the word, to see in scripture. But without prayer, a seer who doesn't pray, a seer who doesn't read the word, you're asking for trouble.
Well, and I believe, and you know this, because I believe this about you. My first call is to be a son. My second is an intercessor. And then my third and fourth, you know, so I believe in prayer every bit of it. And in fact, I allot 3 to 4 hours a day to study and pray every day. And I typically don't miss a day. I'd really try not to. You can call it religious if you want to. I call it carving out time for the God who created me. However, here's why I put such an emphasis on the word, because the word of God teaches us the legalities of the spirit. It puts language to what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're knowing, what we're doing. Right. And it's the word of God that washes the soul. It's the blood that washes the spirit. It's the word that washes the soul. So even back to the Davidic temple, you would wash yourself in the laver of water and you would look at yourself as you washed it in the laver. Well, the law could not do what the blood of Jesus did, but now the blood of Jesus resurrects our spirit, become the new person. It covers our sins, but in our soul dimension, mind, will, and emotion, it's the word of God that washes those. So in the seer realm, because inner visions, outer visions, they operate through the capacity of connecting to your soul as well as your spirit. You're seeing in the spirit. It's being filtered through your soul as it comes out of your body. So that's why it's so important to have a word life, is that you're continually refreshing yourself in your soul, so that as you receive the word of God through sight, through hearing, through smell, however it is, it's filtered through a whole place. that your soul isn't damaged, corrupted, it's not malfunctioning, and it's being filtered the right way and being spoken according. I see so many people who get the right word, but they're bitter, frustrated, angry, all these different things. Their soul is wounded, and they deliver it the wrong way, and they hurt people because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit attached to the revelation or the word of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, part of the lifestyle of the seer is making sure your motives stay pure. Mm. You know, in the Bible, we see that the Lord speaks of those who saw false visions. You know, there were those who said, well, you know, it's peace. You know, they were whitewashing things. And in the prophetic, in the realm of the seeing, we must keep our motives pure. We must have the discipline of examining our heart from time to time. You know, Paul said, if you judge yourself, you wouldn't have to be judged.
That's right.
I examine my own heart. Even in the criticism, we have to ask the Lord, listen, is any of this true? This persecution that's coming against me, Lord, I have an open heart to receive. If I need to make an adjustment. So we have to keep our motives pure, because I have seen, I promise, so many prophets, prophetic people, apostles fall because their motive was self-ambition. And actually in Galatians 6, we see the works of the flesh. And one of the works of the flesh is self-ambition. Yeah. And so if we're not doing this as unto the Lord, if we're not seeking to make his name great, if we're seeking to build our ministry, our kingdom, sell books, we're in the wrong realm, and we might go south.
Jesus.
Not all false prophets or all false seers. They don't start out false. I don't believe they start off false. I believe that somewhere along the line, their motive was corrupted. Their ambition took over. They were aligned with the wrong person that led them astray. And this is how we see the false rising. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we must be those who examine our heart and take the word of the Lord, let it run swiftly through our soul, cleanse us, heal us. Because when we're not healed, that's when we're most susceptible to tapping into a wrong motive. I'm not even talking about wrong spirit.
Yeah.
I'm talking about wrong motives.
It's true. And I also believe that as we engage in the word of God, you know, there are multiple voices that speak in the spirit realm. Right. And I remember times that I was seeing, and what I was looking at, like, it was an angel. Now, every word I get from the Lord in prayer, I always ask him to attach scripture to it.
Yeah.
I always ask that. It's my prayer, and I know you do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And I remember one time I was looking, and I saw what looked like an angel. And I was about ready to engage with this angel, because when angels come, they come for a reason, right? Yeah. They're not coming to play hopscotch and just, you know what I mean? Like, they come for a reason. So if this is a messenger angel, what is your message? And as soon as I did that, the Lord told me, he said, ask the angel, where did it come from?
Wow.
I said, why would I need to do that? You know what I mean? So I asked, and as soon as I engaged and where did you come from, the angel turned into a demon.
Wow.
Turned into a demon. And the scripture the Lord brought me back to was there are demons that disguise themselves as light, right? Mm-hmm. And so had I just engaged in what is your message, I could have got a diluted, a false message. There are all these things, right? So in sight, I correlated that to sight, but in the hearing as well. So you've got the voice of God, you've got your own voice, voices of angels, voices of demons. So the word of God helps you filter. And as you concentrate on Jesus, you learn his voice, you spend time with him, you obey his voice. So you get to know his voice even better. Then you begin to filter out throughout all these other voices that are going and cite things that you see.
Yeah, that's really good. And I would say, you know, part of the discipline, part of the lifestyle of a seer is to study other seers. And I would start with the Bible. I would really start with the Bible. Now, there are just a handful of well-known seers that have the longevity. Now, let me just put two sides on this. Study the seers in the Bible, because you will learn some things about their life. You will learn some of the challenges that they had. You will learn some of the things, how they saw it will inspire your faith. But to our detriment, or not to our detriment, but to our, it's unfortunate rather, that we don't have a whole lot of well-known seers with a lot of longevity. You know, James Gall is one, because you look to the fathers of our generation. And listen, I know there's probably a lot of seers out there who do have longevity. We just don't know who they all are, because they don't all have major platforms. It doesn't make you any less effective, productive, valuable to the kingdom if you don't have a platform that reaches nations. It's not about that. It's about doing what you're called to do. But I feel like you know, we need to study the seers in the Bible, but we need more role models in the seer realm. Because if you ask most people who are the role models, who are the seers, most of them that you name are younger. We don't have a lot of the older ones. Some of them have passed away. Okay. You know, John Paul Jackson passed away. You know, some of the others have passed away, taken out before their time. James Gall is a phenomenal man of God that we both love dearly. But study the seers in the Bible. And if you can connect with let me put it this way. If you can connect with an authentic seer who has maturity, now that doesn't always come with age. Maturity can come at 30, but there's something about those 60-year-old, 65-year-old, 70-year-old seers who have been through things.
Tenured.
They're tenured. And if you can find one of those, they don't have to have a big name. They just have to have the right heart and learn from them. They're hard to find, but seek them, look for them, ask questions of the older generation and let's learn. So part of the lifestyle of the seer is always learning, not just from the word, that's our primary source, but also from others who have walked in places that we have not yet walked.
Yeah. You know, when I was at your conference, one of the probably the single most impacting moment outside of, you know, salvation then with you, but as far as the shift in my DNA was with James when he prophesied over you and I. And the first thing I did was I said, okay, I did this with you when I first joined you. I said, let me grab her books, but because it gives you insight to your journey with God. Right. So when Prophet James laid his hands on me and imparted his life into me, something shifted in my being, literally shifted. I felt even the way I was seeing, processing, dreaming, everything shifted. So the first thing I did was like, I'm going to go grab all of his material. Why? Because I need insight to his journey. There's longevity to him. Something shifted. There's things that are going on. And so I began to grab a hold of what God has done in his life, revelations, insight. Why? Because I need to know what's going on in my life.
Right?
And so this is kind of what you're talking about. When you connect to certain people, the first thing you need to do is you need to grab their life's work. You need insight to what is about ready to happen in your life. Alignment is so important. Alignment right in these days is so finicky and finite and face value. And it's all about getting to the next platform and the next plays. It's such baloney. I can't even talk. I get aggravated talking about it. But what alignment should be is a passing on of spiritual DNA.
Wow.
It's something that happens in longevity. There's when you connect to people, the reason you shouldn't jump from person to person to person is because you become a mutt in the spirit.
Wow.
You don't know where you come from, where you're going, what it looks like. I mean, there's the reason. Did you know that Jesus, his lineage was introduced before he was introduced?
Yes.
It's important. God puts a value on tracking where you came from. When you align, it should be for longevity. And when you align, what you need to do is you need to grab a hold of their life's work, because what the DNA that's in them spiritually is now being engrafted into you spiritually. So you need to know what God's spoken to them, their revelation, what it looks like, where it came from, because those same things are about ready to transpire in your life.
Wow. That is so good. That is so, so good. I found that to be true. You know, I devoured the books of Cindy Jacobs and others, and, you know, trusted voices. You got to be careful because, you know, there's the whole saying, eat the hay, spit out the sticks. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's all sticks. Sometimes there's a big stick, you're going to choke on it and die. So don't, you know, be careful, examine the fruit. But it's good. But you know what, let us, if anybody has any quick questions, we want to answer those. I've got a hard stop because I've got a mentoring call that's coming up shortly. But yes, if anybody has any specific questions, just I wanted to take two or three.
Hey, while somebody's coming with their question, I saw somebody's initials. It was MLK. I saw your initials come before me. It was MLK, MLK. And if that's you and your initials are MLK, I can't see anything because I'm on this Be Live, so I don't see anything on Facebook. I'm on this Be Live app that Apostle Jennifer loves to use. So, but I saw the initials that came before me, MLK. So wherever you're at, Apostle Jennifer, I have to tell me if you answer up. But I want to speak the word of the Lord to you.
Okay. Pardon me, all those who see me chewing on something. It's not gum. It's a slippery elm lozenge. My voice is shot and I'm trying to protect it. Someone has a question here. I'll look for the MLK. why seers go through so much rejection and persecution. I think that's one of the least understood ministries in the body of Christ. I really do. And I think that many people can't understand that realm, have rejected that realm. So if you're going to reject the realm, you're going to reject the messenger in the realm.
Well, and also, people don't like people who can see past their face.
Yeah, that's the, well, they're scared you're going to see their sin. Yeah, totally.
And so, I knew a guy growing up, Apostle Jennifer, who could see, and he wasn't wrapped in love. And when he would get around people, he would call out their sin like that and humiliate. Wow. It humiliated people. And I remember telling this guy, I said, man, like, I agree in addressing things, but you can do it in a way that doesn't humiliate people, wreck their life, make them not want to be around the church they go to. I mean, when he would go, he would just flat out. And so I told him, I said, you know, when you see these things, the right seer will not want to humiliate you. They want you to get delivered and free. So they if they have to correct something they see, they do it with humility, and they do it in a setting or a way that brings life to you, that not takes life from you.
Amen. That's right. That's good. Heather Love is asking if I've got anything in Tampa. We are starting the House of Prayer in Tampa in January. Go on my Eventbrite, jenniferleclaire.eventbrite.com. Monique Bellastros is asking, could the MLK be an abbreviation for a street in Houston? There's a lot of MLK boulevards, but I suppose it could be that. But let's wait and see if it's something else. Should we be seeking Elijahs and Elishas? You should be seeking mentors. I have a message called Who's Your Elijah? And it's a powerful message about serving someone else and honoring someone else's anointing before you rush out and try to operate in your own mantle. There's a principle of honoring somebody else. And the Bible says, if you're not faithful with another, what's another man's, how will God ever give you something to steward of your own right? How do you handle prophetic words that were released to you that hit the ground? And in hindsight, you realize the words you released because the deliverer was drawn to how they could benefit from the word. And you released the words were released because, so how do you handle prophetic word that was released that hit the ground? So it didn't come to pass.
Throw it away. Here's the reality. We are responsible to steward and to discern every word that's given to us. If it's a bogus word, just let it be. Mark it in your spirit and keep going. I think it's a bad deal when we begin to put our hands on each other. I believe right now we have more friendly fire in the kingdom than we do against the devil himself. And so I think the reality is a mature person just says, in their spirit. And when that person begins to speak, now if it's continued malpractice, then the leader of whoever that is needs to mark that person and stop letting them around their sheep. But if it's just to you, then I think you mark it in your spirit and you just stop receiving words from that person.
Yeah. And if you're the one that released a word that hit the ground, you need to ask the Lord how you missed it. You know, was it your soul? Was it were you distracted? What happened there? Somebody asked, do seers go through seasons of isolation?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I want to say the New Testament mark, it doesn't make you a false prophet if you miss a word.
Right.
Or if a word hits the ground. That's not the New Testament mark. In the Old Testament, if you prophesied and it didn't come to pass, they killed you. And the New Testament says prophesy according to your faith. Some people are just growing and they're growing publicly. So don't have grace, the same grace you would want, have on them. Sorry, I had to say that.
Amen. Amen. Seer School. You can go to Seer School at schoolofthespirit.tv. And we'll be starting advanced seer school next year. For right now, it's schoolofthespirit.tv. Go find the seer school there. She is KM. No, we need MLK.
No, who is Michael Kionis?
Michael Kionis. If you're there, shout out.
Who is this name? Anyway, I'm going to have to keep, yeah.
How about Southern California? We are going to be in San Diego for a prophetic release tour, part of my tour. Go to my Eventbrite, jenniferleclaire.eventbrite.com. All right. You are going to get blocked as soon as I find you here because you are a spam artist. Somebody being obviously a prophet, would that mean they're automatically a seer? No, not all prophets are seers. All prophets can see. We can all see the spirit. But there is a distinction in the Bible between the seer and the prophet. We already talked about what you were. Okay, some of these we've answered in past broadcasts. So if you're not getting an answer, it's possible that we already answered it in the past broadcast and we want to move on. So let's see. January is MLK Day. Yes, that's right. Amen. You know, Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, is part of my Ignite network. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's cool. Amen.
Yeah, that's really cool. Let's see. Going through, looking for the person, and then we're going to pray. How do you discern? Okay. I'm not going to get into that today for sake of time. Come to Jacksonville. I don't have an invitation to Jacksonville or a word for the Lord, schoolthespirit.tv. That's right. Vanessa, are you coming to Philly? No, but I am coming to New York and to Washington, D.C. Go to jenniferleclair.eventbrite.com. We can looking for these people. He's a Michael, but not Kionis. And let's see.
Well, those two are different. If he was MLK, that was different than Michael Kionis. This Michael Kionis guy, I've got to find because I just got a word for him. But anyway, I don't know who that is.
They will probably pop up at some point. You know how it goes.
I'm reminded, you know, I'm seeing this lady and the Lord reminded me of this woman. This woman's name, I knew her name was Cindy. Cindy had a daughter. Her daughter was in... Her daughter did some type of work with agriculture. Cindy was her name, but she had a daughter. And right now, when I saw her, the Lord told me to prophesy over one of your... I saw a lady, reminded me of Cindy, but I saw her daughter. The daughter was into agriculture. And the Lord told me to prophesy over the daughter that is into agriculture. This daughter now of hers is, I think, a sophomore in college. So now I'm trying to, it's a parable. I'm just trying to pull this around. But I want to prophesy over a lady. Your daughter's a sophomore in college. And the Lord spoke to me, said, his hand of protection is on you. The Lord showed me, I see, even the distractions around her, the Lord is literally warding off. I saw angelic assistance due to your prayer, mother, to your daughter, sophomore in college. I saw angelic assistance literally come and begin to protect your daughter, even her mind. I felt like the enemy was strategizing to cause your daughter to even like almost like she would lose her mind to like anxiety, to worry and depression. But the Lord literally just shielded off. And I saw his hands go like that and protection and glory started to surround your daughter, and your daughter shall be safe. She shall abide in the hands of the Almighty. I release this word to you right now.
Yeah, there's someone on here that as you sing, you see, and your singing is the gateway to your seeing. It's not the only gateway, but just the primary gateway. I want to know who you are. You, when you sing, you begin to see. I don't know if you're on your worship team or if you just sing in the shower or you just sing, you know, to the glory of God. You just sing, you know, maybe you don't even have a good singing voice, but your singing unlocks something in the seer realm for you. Let me know where you are. I want to pray for you.
It reminds me of the story of Elisha when he was going to prophesy and he said, bring me the minstrel.
Yeah.
And it says the power of God fell on him as the song of the Lord was played. That's powerful. Yeah.
Wow. So there's something here. I just feel like the Lord's wanting to highlight it. I don't necessarily have a word for you. The Lord is highlighting this as a gateway. And honestly, I don't know why I never thought of it before, but this is a gateway. So some of you worship leaders, listen, you need to really press into this because that is a gateway to sight and to seeing. Mm-hmm. So some people in here are like, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I'm not able to see. Begin to sing. Begin, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so I want you to begin to sing. I wish I could sing.
Praise God. We make a joyful noise.
We make a joyful noise. The singing seers, praise God.
Hey, come on. Make that melody. I love it.
They could be in my network with all the flaggers.
You know, the Lord just took me to the scripture, and I'm doing this on purpose because I want to show you guys how to springboard into sight. But I went to the scripture. The scripture reminded me of the prodigal son, except for the son was a daughter, and the daughter's name was Angela. And the daughter's name was Angela. And so the Lord began to tell me, prophesy that Angela is coming to the Lord. So I began to see the scripture, and the boy turned into a girl, and the girl in the spirit over was Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A, Angela. But I wanted to prophesy that your Angela is coming to the Lord. Your angels come to the Lord.
Yes.
And I literally declare that as she comes, God is meeting her with robe, ring, and shoes, and she's going to immediately begin to step into her divine destiny and fulfill the will and the work of the Lord. I release this in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen, we got to wrap this up. I want you to go and visit Apostle Jonathan Stidham's website. It's J-O-H-N-A-T-A. John Jonathan. It has an H in it.
JSglobal.org.
Ah, you changed it.
Yeah, easier, right?
It's way easier. JSglobal.org. Go visit his website. Also, listen, go visit seerrealms.com.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny Image has picked up our book, seerrealms.com. You can pre-order it. It won't be out for a lot of months, but when you pre-order it, you're going to get a free gift and you're going to enjoy that free gift. So go to seerrealms.com. If you enjoy this, get a copy of the book. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv, sign up for the School of the Seers. And am I missing anything else? Oh, the Mornings with the Holy Spirit giveaway, giveaway.morningswiththeholyspirit.com, giveaway.morningswiththeholyspirit.com. You can win a free phone call with me where I pray over you. 5-year anniversary of my morning's prayer call. Ignitenow.org is the network. Go get involved in what blesses you. And with that, stay tuned for the next episode of the Seer Zone. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless
you. All right.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You can visit me online at jenniferleclair.org or sow into Operation Liberation, our missions arm, at jenniferleclair.org/missions.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClair is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.